make sure that we can accommodate everybody comfortably. All right, we will begin with roll call and introductions, beginning on my far left.
Mark Pelletier.
Sean Denniston.
Sarah Fox.
Robert Hines.
Alex Gall.
And Rocky.
John White, I'm the
Jackie Campbell, Clark County. Chris Cook, Deputy Prosecuting Attorney in Clark County.
Thank you. Let's first turn our attention to the minutes from the September 5th Historic Preservation Meeting. Jackie, I know that you had sent this out to the Commission previously. I'll give the Commissioners an opportunity to look this over if they haven't had a chance to already, and I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes whenever ready.
Jackie, I'd like to point out that I was here for the vote for the Jefferson Davis Memorial Marker hearing.
So that's page two, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, and Jackie's, I looked at this, I remember prior to the discussion on the Jefferson Davis Highway marker, I had made some opening comments about the fact that the Jefferson Davis marker itself was on private property, that the HPC did not have authority to remove the marker and so forth, so maybe we could add that to the minutes.
Sure.
Thank you.
I move to approve the minutes with the corrections as noted.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 The minutes from September 5th are approved. All right. We will move on to the public hearing this evening. This is regarding the listing of the Jefferson Davis marker on the Clark County Heritage Register. Before we begin, I will ask commission members if they have any ex parte contacts or conflicts of interest with respect to this hearing.
No.
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 No. If not, we will consider the public hearing open.
Thank you, Chair.
Jackie, before we go further, I'd like to make a couple of opening comments about this hearing tonight, and then we will proceed. So first of all, I want to say that tonight's hearing is only about the listing of the Jefferson Davis Highway marker on the Clark County Heritage Register. It is not about removal of the monument or the park. The monument sits on private property, and the Historic Preservation Commission has no authority to remove it. On that note, I also want to address a misperception that came up at the last meeting on the part of several members of the public. That is that the Jefferson Davis Park does not receive any historic tax incentives, grants, or other public funds for its upkeep. It is maintained privately. The second thing I want to point out about tonight's hearing is that Clark County Code is very specific about the process for delisting a property on the Heritage Register. That process includes nothing about the level of political support for removal. 100 people can comment tonight in support of delisting and 1 in support of continued listing or vice versa, but that does not determine the HPC's decision. The HPC performs a regulatory role based on historic preservation law. We are not a political body. The decision must be made with regard to the specific criteria in Clark County Code. In addition, I want to say that unlike the process for delisting properties that are on the National Register of Historic Places, Clark County Code does not require the HPC to find fault or error in the original decision to list the property. The current Historic Preservation Commission, as part of this process, will look at the Jefferson Davis nomination and supporting information we are given tonight and make an objective decision to continue with the listing or to delist. Third, and I want to make this clear, nobody is on trial tonight. We are not here to judge the motives of the Daughters of the Confederacy for wishing to have this monument listed, nor are we here to judge the intentions of those who would like to see it delisted. I ask that during this hearing, members of the public refrain from making personal insults or accusations to other members. Please respect the rights of your fellow citizens to have their own opinions and keep commentary focused on the listing of the Jefferson Davis marker. Finally, I am going to ask that you please refrain from applauding or otherwise vocalizing your feelings about any comments made during the hearing. This is because we do not want to create an atmosphere of intimidation for any member of the public. Clark County is a diverse community with approximately 500,000 residents, and the city of Vancouver is part of a major urban area with well over 1.5 million people. We are bound to have differences of opinion. Yet we live here because it is a beautiful place with beautiful people and a very rich history that dates back thousands of years to the American Indians who first settled here. I ask that everybody approach this hearing open-minded and free of prejudice. Now I will turn it over to Jackie Camp from Clark County Community Planning for her staff report. Then I'll ask Chris Cook, senior attorney for Clark County, to provide a few comments about Clark County Historic Preservation Code and the process that we will go through this evening. Then we'll open it up for the commission members to ask questions of the staff and about the staff report. Jackie.
Thank you, Chair. Jackie Camp, Clark County Community Planning. This is case HST 2017-00004, consideration of removal of Jefferson Davis Highway marker from the Clark County Area Register. The Jefferson Davis Highway marker, currently located at 24024 Northwest Maple Crest Road, parcel number 215-362-000, was nominated by the United Daughters of the Confederacy and listed on the Clark County Heritage Register by the Clark County Historic Preservation Commission in 2002. At that time, it was located at the Clark County Historical Museum on Main Street in Vancouver. In 2007, the marker was moved from the museum grounds to its current location on private property, fronting the southbound lanes of Interstate 5 near Ridgefield. The relocation of the marker required review by the Clark County Historic Preservation Commission. On December 11, 2007, the commission voted to keep the marker on the register and approve the certificate of appropriateness. In the wake of violence after an August 12th rally in Charlottesville, Virginia this year, Clark County received several comments and questions about the Jefferson Davis Highway marker listed on the Clark County website and historic register. The comments included requests that the marker be removed from the website and heritage register. Since the Clark County Heritage Register is maintained by the Clark County Historic Preservation Commission, those comments were forwarded on to them and were discussed at their monthly meeting on Tuesday, September 5th, 2017. At the September 5th meeting, the commission voted to schedule a public hearing to consider removing the Jefferson Davis Highway marker from the register. A little background of the marker. It was conceived in conceived in 1913 by the United Daughters of the Confederacy as a transcontinental highway through the South dedicated to Jefferson Davis, the first and only president of the Confederate States of America. According to the U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Highway Admin, it was common during the time for private organizations to identify a route, give it a name, and promote its use and improvement. Eventually, the Jefferson Davis Highway was extended north along the Pacific Coast via US 99, with the designation completed in 1939 in Washington State. One highway marker was placed in Vancouver at the southern end of Highway 99 and one at the northern end in Blaine, Washington. Because the route had an existing number following adoption of the US numbered highway system in 1926, the new name was hardly used. According to documents in the nomination file, the grand marker originally was placed on Highway 99 on Main Street, just west of the Covington House in 1939. Documents indicated it was moved in 1951, where Highway 99 was widened. According to a 2002 article in the Columbian, it was moved into storage by the city of Vancouver in 97 or 98. In And in 2002, the marker was moved to the Clark County Historical Museum, and soon after, it was nominated to and placed on the Clark County Heritage Register. In 2007, as stated before, the marker was moved from the museum grounds to its current location on private property off Interstate 5 near Ridgefield. Per Clark County Code 4250.030F, any building, structure, site, object, or district may be designated for inclusion in the Clark County Heritage Register if it is significantly associated with the history, architecture, archaeology, engineering, or cultural heritage of the community, has integrity of location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association, is at least 50 years old or is of lesser age and has exceptional importance, and falls into at least one of 11 other specific categories. The 2002 nomination, which is in your packet as Exhibit B, for the highway marker, claimed that the marker met the eligibility for the Clark County Heritage Register, so it met those four criteria, and that it met three of the additional 11 categories as follows. One, that it was associated with events that have made a significant contribution to the broad patterns of national, state, or local history. Four, that exemplifies or reflects special elements of the county's history. And five, is associated with the lives of persons significant in national, state, or local history. The August 22, 2002 staff report findings were that, one, it was older than 50 years, that it was staff's opinion that it was significantly associated with the history and cultural heritage of the community because the highway and the women's movement to commemorate are part of the county's history. And although the monument is no longer sited in its original location, it does have its original design, materials, and feelings. For the additional categories of the 11 that was chosen, the only category that staff supported was number four. Staff stated the special element of the county's history that is reflected is that of the Daughters of the Confederacy's grassroots project for the designation and commemoration of Highway 99. As is stated in Section 8, page 1 of the National Register of Materials, the Jefferson Davis Highway from coast to coast is the largest project ever accomplished by an American women's organization. Regardless of whether it was the largest project ever, it was thought of by staff in 2002 to be of historic significance. And that is in Exhibit B. After the staff report was presented at the Historic Preservation Committee on September 10, the notes reflect a discussion regarding the marker's ineligibility for the Washington Heritage Register and the National Register. The state at that time determined that the marker did not have symbolic value and that it had lost integrity because it was moved from its original location, as is the D in your packet. One commission member, Holly Chamberlain, discussed how she believed the marker was significant to our local history because it was chosen to be placed here in Clark County instead of somewhere else in the state, which was unique to the county. She further discussed how she would like the nomination amended and expanded. Promotion. Moves the Jefferson Davis Highway marker be placed on the county register given that the nomination be expanded to include the addition of a paragraph of biographical information on A. Avery Wilkins. That the nomination include, if it can be obtained, but specifically why it was originally placed farther up Main Street, and also why it is placed where it is now. Also for the nomination to have proofreading for purposes of clarification with reference to the findings in the staff report. The motion is seconded and carried 3-1. Sisters in C, the minutes from that meeting, and then the audio. Current historic preservation staff has reviewed the entire file and yet to find an amended nomination that reflects the request of the 2002 Historic Preservation Commission for the approval of the nomination at that time. So in 2007, Mark came before the Historic Preservation Commission for a certificate of appropriateness. It was staff's recommendation at that time that the marker was no longer eligible for listing because it was no longer located on part of the Ohio 99 route that it was commemorating. The commission approved the certificate of appropriateness for the relocation with the recognition of the efforts of the Washington Division of the United Daughters of the Confederacy, with the condition that the story of their efforts be documented and displayed at the marker to explain the significance to its visitors. The vote is 2-1. Since that time, additional objects have been placed at the site, including the plaque explaining the story of the United Daughters of the Confederacy. The marker that was placed in Blaine, Washington has also been placed at the site, along with signage about the park and correction here. There's actually three flags, not two, and I can correct it. It's one National Confederate flag, one Betsy Ross flag, another Union flag, and a Bobby Bell flag. Latin blue flag, my mistake. As stated in the summary, after the violence that occurred, many members of the public requested that the marker be taken off the county website and the register. And at the September 5th meeting, the Historic Commission voted to schedule a public hearing, which was for this evening. So, board responsibility here, the commission responsibility under Title 4250.030 F4B, the Historic Preservation Commission may initiate removal of a site from the Clark County Heritage Register. In the event that any, and this is how it states, and in the event that any property is no longer deemed appropriate for designation to the Clark County Heritage Register, the commission may initiate removal from such designation by the same procedure as provided for in establishing the designation. So the staff report continues on with the physical description. It's a granite marker that has the following inscribed, Jefferson Davis Highway number 99, erected by the Washington Division United Daughters of the Confederacy, erected June 1939. And as stated before, list the nomination criteria that is required for meeting the eligibility for being on the Clark County Heritage Register, which are answering the four questions of being 50 years old, significantly associated with the history, architecture, archaeology, engineering, or cultural heritage of the community, have integrity of location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association, and fall into at least one of the categories identified in the Clark County Code. And as stated before, the nomination argued that it met three of those. The commission will now have your public testimony and delivery, and part of your motion will include findings for the criteria as part of the motion and approval process. And just to note that the appeals of the HPC decisions are made to the Clark County Hearings Examiner per Clark County Code Chapter 2.59. The end, I have a list of exhibits that are attached, and
I will
complete my staff report.
Thank you, Jackie. And Chris, would you mind making some comments about Clark County Code and the process that we must adhere to this evening?
Thank you, Mr.
Chair.
I'm happy to. The decision that the Historic Preservation Commission makes tonight must be based on the criteria in the code. And Jackie has been through those a couple times. One more time. Is the marker significantly associated with the history, architecture, archaeology, engineering, and cultural heritage of the community? Number two, does it have integrity of location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association? Is it at least 50 years old? And then does it have meet one of the other mentioned criteria? The decision must be based on the criteria, and the findings will be based on the criteria. If the if you determine that there is not the significant association required, that there is not the integrity required, or the age required, I think we've got the age, then that would be a determination that this should be removed. If you determine that it does have those three things, then you go to the 11 that are below. And again, it must meet at least one of those. That's the basis for the determination, and it should be based upon the marker itself and what you conclude about those things. Sometimes it's difficult to make a yes or no determination with regard to a particular criterion, so it's helpful then to look at the purpose provision in Code Section 4250.030 and Subsection A, purpose, cannot substitute for the criteria, but it can inform your thinking about the criteria when you're thinking about integrity. What does that mean? Well, according to the purpose provision in this code section, the purpose is to provide for the identification, evaluation, and protection of historic and prehistoric resources within the county and to encourage the preservation, restoration, and rehabilitation of eligible historic and/or cultural resources within the county for future generations, in order to, number one, safeguard the heritage of the county as represented by those buildings, objects, sites, and structures which reflect the significant elements of the county's history. Number two, increase recognition of the county's historic and cultural resources. Number three, foster a sense of identity based upon the county's history. Number four, assist, encourage, and provide incentives to property owners for preservation, restoration, and use of significant buildings, objects, sites, and structures. And number five, promote and facilitate the early identification and resolution of conflicts between the preservation of historic and cultural resources and alternative land uses. Now, some of the criteria and some of the purpose statements don't mean a whole lot because, as the chair explained, the object that's on the list is a marker. It's not the property on which the marker sits, nor is it the remainder of the items in that property, the Jefferson Davis Park. And again, Jefferson Davis Park is the name of the property, as listed in the county's website as the owner, but it's not a county park. It's not owned by the county. Nothing on it is owned by the county or maintained by the county or supported by the county, except in that it is listed on this heritage list. So these are the criteria, and the public who are here are free to speak about the memorial and about the history as they wish. But again, the board must make its decision based upon the criteria and not on other considerations. Have you any questions?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Regarding delisting, it stated, in the event of any property is no longer deemed appropriate for designation to the CCHR, the commission may initiate removal, et cetera, et cetera. From that, I'm getting that we're basically revisiting the nomination and the certificate of appropriateness on their merits.
By looking at the criteria that enable a property to be listed.
It is not necessary to find an error in any decision or report or finding of that nomination or certificate of appropriateness.
No, but if the commission determines that there is an error that could be significant in determining whether or not the criteria is met.
And if any conditions have changed, obviously that speaks to the merits of the application.
That could.
Yes.
There is a question floating in the community as to whether or not inclusion on the register automatically makes the owner of the location or the item eligible for some sort of funding later. Is there a truth to that?
Funding? No, I don't know of any sort of funding that
or any for some sort of maintenance.
With this. No.
Good.
Jackie, would you like to address that maybe a little bit more? Because it's my understanding that if a property is on the Heritage Register, it may apply for certain assistance. Is that correct?
There are a couple tax incentive programs for properties on the local register, I believe the national register. It's being an object.
Right. It's an object. It's not real property. So if there were real property taxes associated with it, that would be different. But this is in its barest form, a chunk of rock. It's not the real property there. So the marker itself does not get taxed and therefore can't have any kind of tax abatement associated with it as a historic property.
Thank you.
Any more questions for council?
Do we know, or do we have any text of what the plaque that explains the UDC's involvement, or I think this is the only picture we have of it?
Yes, I apologize, that's all I have in the packet.
If there's no more questions for council, we'll move to questions for staff regarding the staff report. So, yeah, Jackie, I thought that was a very good and detailed and thorough staff report. And my understanding, if I read it correctly, is that you did a thorough search of the file for this particular marker. There was a stipulation put on the property at the time it was listed that additional documentation be provided, right?
Yes, amendments to the nomination form itself.
And those were never received.
Not that I could find in our files.
Yet the list, yet it went ahead and was listed. Is that
correct?
Okay. And is that standard process or?
Usually we have a form that's been signed. This one, what I have in the file is not signed, usually by the chair at the completion of when it's put on the register. So I'm not sure what had happened in the situation.
Any other questions of staff?
No. There was another stipulation put on in 2007 during the Certificate of Appropriateness review about the additional documentation to go.
Yeah, they wanted something at the location, which is that plaque that you can't read the picture. But it does talk about the efforts of the United States and the Confederacy and the history of designating the Jefferson Davis Highway.
Okay.
Right. Let's see.
Is there a way we can get that text? I'd be curious to know.
Tonight.
Well. If not.
That would be a hard one to pull
out. Yeah.
Off,
yeah.
Get that job off.
Any other questions of staff before we move on? Okay, we really don't have an applicant present, do we, since this is really the commission initiating this review. So I guess it would be then appropriate to move on to public comment. Do we have sign-in sheets? Sarah, would you mind? Sarah Fox will read off the names. We'll take public comment in the order that people signed in. Each individual who has signed up for public comment will have 3 minutes to make their comments.
All right, Jay Willis.
Please have a seat. You're welcome.
Go ahead and talk.
Please.
Well, I was curious to speak about the facts and not emotional objections. The facts are in the 1930s, as the Lincoln Highway was being worked on to the northern route, the Jefferson Davis Highway was being completed to the southern route, one of the largest successful projects of the Women's Organization. In May of 1941, Eleanor Roosevelt wrote to the UDC convention being held here in Washington, UDC United Daughters of the Confederacy. Congratulations upon completion, the Jefferson Davis Highway marker and greetings. In the 1930s, people thought that naming roads and erecting monuments to Confederate and Union leaders would help bring North and South together in peace and understanding and help erase lingering bitterness on both sides. It was mostly a tribute to the acts these leaders did after the war to bring Americans together that was being honored by these monuments. The New York Times wrote in 1934, this highway was a symbol of the fact that all bitterness between the South and the North had vanished. I was present at the dedication of the Jefferson Davis Park in 2007. I just learned the city's Vancouver's decision to remove the historic highway marker from its obscure location from the remnant of 990E, and the city paying to have a monument placed in a private park. Clark County Historical Society was present, the UBC members and historic guard were present. The Sons of Union veterans raised a Union flag, and the Sons of Confederate veterans raised the last official Confederate flag. These were to symbolize Jefferson Davis's contributions and public service for his entire life. Now, this is how history should be served, working together and not giving in to the few that try to judge the past by the present way we look at things today. And now the monument is back in its proper place along I-5, which was put over 990. Jefferson Davis was a hero of the Mexican War, which he served as a colonel. He's also a regent of the Smithsonian Institution, a U.S. congressman, a U.S. senator. He pressed the British to establish United States claim to what is now Washington State. He served this area well as Secretary of War under President Franklin Pierce. He worked to install our military roads, forts, coastal defense, increased the military wages, and directed three surveys to the Transcontinental Railroad in the Pacific. He appointed Isaac Stevens, the first territorial governor of Washington, to head the Northern Route Survey, and requested George B. McClellan to be the principal officer of the survey team. He mandated all surveys be done by the new geodetic method, which took into account the curvature of the earth. He directed the construction of a military road from Walla Walla to Puget Sound, then the road from there to Bellingham Bay to the Norman Coast. Roads and highways were a top priority for Jefferson Davis. Many of our roads are descendants of his roads. He believed in manifest destiny in the United States and was a dedicated Unionist opposing secession, while also dedicated to the principle of states' rights. When Mississippi seceded from the Union and recalled him as its senator, he knew he had to serve his state first. He was elected president of the newly formed Union, and in Italy tried to negotiate peace with President Lincoln, offering federal slaves, but Lincoln refused.
Thank you.
His history and service to Washington State should be not overlooked just because his last required service was on the state of Mississippi.
Sir, you only have 3 minutes and your time is up.
Well, some think that the old highway markers and monuments should be in the museum.
Get off the stage.
It was placed in the Clark County Museum, but was removed from there by those who seek the history of the way. It seems that its backfire is now well displayed and maintained by private citizens with a desire to keep alive a part of the history of Clark County.
Please, Jay, please.
There's many people that want to speak tonight, so we need to be at the table.
Okay, well. We will take
the statement and enter it into public record.
If you hand that to Jackie,
and we'll make sure that it becomes part of the record.
Well, it seems like the more this monument is persecuted, the more that people, American citizens, come out and help and volunteer and donate. We've got a massive amount of Americans.
Sir, the next person would like to have their time at the mic. And the next person on the list is David Sugden.
Well, I think removing these monuments. Or trying to. It seems persecuting the very citizens that elect these public officials. Because the majority of Americans
in the Sir, David is.
We might let the next person who's after. No, we just let the come.
Good evening. My name is David Sugden. I'm a resident of Clark County. I've been here since 2003. I'm opposed to the removal of Justin Davis Highway markers from the Clark County Register. I've been here from 2003. This fact that the memorial marker has been in and on Clark County property for 78 years. This fact that the memorial has nothing to do with Charlottesville violence or is associated with hate or hate groups. The United Daughters of the Confederacy has nothing to do with hate or hate groups. Removing it will not change history. It is of historical importance Highway 99 was named after Jefferson Davis by the United Daughters of the Confederacy due to the fact that Jefferson Davis did have significant history in the state of Washington and in the territory of Washington, and that the marker has been in Clark County for a long time. This is in This is in itself historical and significant to the history of Clark County. Also, it has been recognized that the Jefferson Davis project being achieved by the United Daughters of the Confederacy was at the time being the largest project ever accomplished by American Women's Organization. And Clark County, and the state of Washington's portion, is, I believe, to be significant history to be kept on register. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, the next person is Gary Clark.
Thank you for the opportunity to address, and thanks for the time that we have. My whole point to the situation is this marker was okay in 1929. The history of the era, 61 to 65, 18, 61 to 65, didn't change. So what changed is the message. There's not one week goes by that I don't peruse the teachings of professors at colleges, PhDs, that I challenge. And once you challenge them with the head of their department after three or four emails, they say, "You've proven your point, Mr. Clark, we're going to end this now." But it doesn't change the 45-second blip you got on television that was complete lies. So, if I thought Jefferson Davis was a traitor,
well,
I believe that I would go ahead and, if Jefferson Davis was a traitor, I would say remove this name from any record. But we know he wasn't. He was held under military control. They wanted to try him under treason laws. He tried to get a judgment. He wanted a trial. But they couldn't do it because they had to set up a civil organization to do it. So Simon P. Chase was a Lincoln appointee. He was over circuit courts at that time. Were run by Scotus justices. So he was over the one in Virginia. But it took years to get this going on. So Johnson kept telling him, "You need to have this trial." Here's what he told Johnson. "If you bring these Confederate leaders to trial, it will condemn the North, for by the Constitution, secession is not rebellion." That changed. So we had the events that happened. The 13th Amendment came, absolutely a positive thing. Slavery was a terrible thing, it should have never happened, but it wasn't what the war was all about. Read Lincoln's inaugural address, please read it. Lastly, the 14th Amendment came into play, and this is how they resolved the issue. Article 2, Clause 3, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment stated that they were to lose their citizenship, which Senator Hatfield, which is a connection to our area, put in and moved it through the Senate that he was granted his citizenship back posthumously. But the 14th Amendment, Article 2, Section 3, also kept him from holding any office. So what that did was, if you tried the gentleman after, or any of these leaders after that, specifically Jefferson Davis, he would be under double jeopardy. Simon P. Chase, a Lincoln appointee, is the one that set that up because he did not want a trial to happen because he knew that there would be issues constitutionally. Along with that, in the 14th Amendment and the title program came in 1871 that basically took away the right of any state to secede because they incorporated the entire United States right down to this county. So that ended the secession because you'll never get the corporation broken up.
You only have a few seconds
left. So those are the things that we face.
You have a few seconds left.
Okay, thank you so much. Those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you.
Father John Sigmund.
For those of the members of the public who have signed up to speak and have not done this before, there are lights on the timer up at the podium. When it's yellow, you have 30 seconds left, and then when it's red, your time is complete.
For the record, I'd like to say that the flags on the park, one of them is the First National flag of the Confederacy. The one below it is the Bonnie Blue flag of the Confederacy. And one on the other side, the other flagpole, is the last national flag of the Confederacy, which was adopted in March of 1865. So I'd like to have the record correctly on those flags. My name is Father John Sigmund. I'm a priest for the American Anglican Diocese of the Northwest. I'm also the division commander for the Mississippi Division Sons of Confederate Veterans. And I am now the division commander for the Pacific Northwest Division of the Sons of Confederate Veterans. The tenor of these remarks that I make will address simply the matter of his inclusion or exclusion from this register. The Sons of Confederate Veterans owns and maintains that park. Jefferson Davis was three things. He was a military man, he was a senator, and finally he was the president of the Confederate States of America. We seek to do this to honor him, not because necessarily of his service to the Confederacy, although we are proud of that, but because Jefferson Davis was an American, and he is an American who served, if I may quote someone that made a misquote, with honor and distinction. I think it needs to be pointed out to this commission that leaving that name on the register does not mean you approve or disapprove. It simply means you leave his name on the register. We get weary of the slavery issue being brought up. Jefferson Davis owned slaves, 75, on his Briarfield plantation. He also raised a young black boy who disappeared in the fall of Richmond and they never heard from him again. Still, that was the state of the country in those days. And if we're going to refuse recognition to a man who was a slave owner, then I would invite those who object to come to Washington, D.C. with me, and let's tear down the Washington Monument, because George Washington was a major slave owner. Oh, and right across the street, Thomas Jefferson. Why, we ought to pay his monument a visit, too, and remove it. That's all I have to say. Our division stands behind us to support this effort to maintain that park and maintain his name. We may lose. You may decide you want to take it off the register. But this I promise you, the Sons of Confederate Veterans will never back up, will never quit, will never tire, and will never surrender. Thank you.
Thank you. Please do not applaud. Hold your applause, please. Rick Lamont.
I'm here to speak in favor of keeping the monument on the register, the historical register. The monument meets all the criteria that are necessary for it to be on that register. It's over 50 years old. It's historically significant. The architecture or the style of the monument is not the way monuments are made today. It's similar to what we're the type of carvings that were done in the 30s. Jefferson Davis has a tie to the Northwest. As had been mentioned earlier, he authorized the construction of military roads here. This is significant to Clark County and to the entire state of Washington. Every one of us got here tonight on the public road. Jefferson Davis started that system in the state of Washington. He is a significant individual for the entire country and the state. As has been mentioned earlier, he helped to found the Smithsonian Institute. He started what has become the U.S. Weather Service. One thing he did that didn't work out too well is he brought camels over and introduced them into the United States Army in the West, and that didn't work, but he was trying to update the technology of the military. He was one of the best secretaries of war this country ever had, and that position is similar to Secretary of Defense today. He is a significant person. He served this country honorably. He should be remembered, and as the monument meets all the criteria, it must remain on the register. And thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have Chris Brambles.
Brambles. So you're not there.
All right, sorry.
Good evening, commissioners. I'm here today to stand against the political correctness that is rotting our country to the core. Here to speak up against the bullies that are trying to force feed this agenda down the American people, down their throat. After Charlottesville, Antifa vandalized Jefferson Davis Park with red and black tar-like substance, is what I was told. And then the complaints came rolling into you. This is typical. It's happened all over the country. They're trying to manipulate you and people who think like them to do exactly what you're considering doing today. I face Antifa and their kind, and they are just a bunch of misguided Americans. They hate everything about this country and everything. They want to destroy it from within. The media and select politicians have created a cultural war in this country, and every time someone gets into this cultural Marxism, the light of liberty grows a little dimmer, and another link is forged for the chains of slavery. The First Amendment was placed in the Bill of Rights to chain the government and to prevent exactly what is taking place today. The First Amendment is to protect unpopular speech. Popular speech does not need protection. Or as Madison said, to protect the minority from the majority. Excuse me. Freedom of speech is not... Oh, I already said it, sorry. Lost the track here. The reason in your letter you say this meeting is taking place is that, quote, several comments and questions about Jefferson Davis Park's highway marker has been received, end quote. You admit this has happened once in a while, but after Charlottesville, you said it spiked. Of course it did. Never let a tragedy go to waste. By bending to the will of these Marxists, it won't be long before they are trying to change the name of your state. As the gentleman had mentioned before, he owns slaves. These are the same kind of extremists who want to get rid of anything to do with the Founding Fathers, Christianity, all of our tradition, all in the guise of they are offended. Who cares? I say let them change the channel. You obviously thought it was a good idea to place this park on the Heritage Register at one time, so I ask you, what has changed other than a few unfounded complaints? Somebody's always going to complain, right? It is un-American, unacceptable to give in to terrorism and bullies. This is still the land of the free and the home of the brave. My family has fought for it in every war this country has ever fought. Most of my friends are veterans, and they all love their country. A lot of blood has been spilled to protect the Bill of Rights, and just by having this meeting, it somehow dishonors their ultimate contribution to preserve liberty. We the people will not let our history be erased, and we will not submit to socialism or any other form of Marxist economic totalitarianism. You need to do the right thing today.
Sir, your time is up.
Don't let the haters win.
You may submit your comments.
Except I have 9 seconds left.
Oh, I'm
sorry.
Jim Hoffman?
Good evening. Thank you for giving me the time to come here and speak. As you said, my name is Jim Hoffman. I don't live in Washington, but I do have a deep connection to Washington. My family was some of the first settlers of this state. My lineage goes back to John Adams. And as Chris also pointed out, my family fought in the beginning to start this country. And in every battle, I've served this country. My boys have served this country. Let's take a look at what ISIS is doing over in Afghanistan and Syria. They're wiping out all of their monuments because they want to forget their history. Is that what we want to do? Do we want to become American ISIS and destroy our history? Forget it because it makes a few upset. I strongly oppose taking this off the registry. It should stay on the registry. I don't know what you're going to do, but I would urge strongly, as I said, let's keep this. Let's not forget about our history. Let's not forget about our heritage. I'm going to keep it short and sweet, and that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, Doug Wilson is next, and then Bridget Fonda. I think I said that wrong. Sorry, Bridget.
Hi, my name is Doug Wilson. I live in Vancouver, Washington. I'm a professional archaeologist, and I served on the Historic Preservation Commission for 6 years. And I'm not representing an agency, university, church, or club today. I think we can all agree that heritage in Clark County is of great importance to the people of its communities. Historical sites provide important places and green spaces where the memories of the past convey new lessons and experiences for people today. They are sites of reflection, of reconnection with the past and present, and of memory. They are economic drivers as well and reflect and influence the quality of life of our communities. The evaluation of historic sites and objects, however, must address criteria that explain why they are important and how they can help us to reconnect with our past. In assessing the removal of the Jefferson Davis Highway marker, whether it should be retained on the register, I believe that you should address two of the criteria of the original 2002 nomination. First and very important is the criteria of integrity. Does the monument in its current location reflect integrity of location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association? In a sense, the movement of the monument from its original location at Leverage Park, adjacent to Highway 99, significantly diminished its integrity of location, setting, design, feeling, and association. The movement of the monument to a site in Ridgefield along Interstate 5 further diminished its integrity. The introduction of the other Jefferson Davis monument for Peace Arch Park and the addition of flags, including Confederate flags, are not fitting with the original design of the monument and detracts from its setting, feeling, and association. Second, perhaps much more importantly, the monument must be evaluated in the full context of its placement in 1939. It is my belief that the statement of significance from 2002 is woefully incomplete. Davis did have an important role in administering the railroad surveys conducted by Isaac Stevens in the 50s and in other events of some importance to Southwest Washington. However, it is the larger role of the United Daughters of the Confederacy, UDC, as a women's movement in the United States, and its role in the rejuvenation and support of the lost cause in the Jim Crow era that is largely missing from the context of the placement of the monument. I recommend that the Commission remove the monument from the register until the nomination is amended to fully explore the context of the placement of the marker in these terms and evaluate it for its loss of integrity. Regardless, the story of racism in the county should be further explored by our local institutions of history, including this commission, to delve more deeply into how the context of this monument was tied to an ideology.
Your time is up, sir.
Thanks.
Roy Goldman is after Bridget. Actually, I'm sorry, I don't think Bridget wanted to speak. Rory Bowman's up.
Yes, she's
right. Oh, she does? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. You didn't put a yes next to the sign up.
I am. My voice on cover. Okay. I just start.
Okay.
Dear commissioners, like many people who are here tonight, I'm asking you to please declassify the Confederate monument in Richfield. In the behind writings, it says, when a thought of war comes, opposes with a stronger thought of peace. A thought of hatred must be destroyed by a more powerful thought of love. Thoughts of war bring destruction, all harmony and well-being, restfulness and content. Thoughts of love are constructive of brotherhood, peace, fellowship, and happiness. In that spirit, I ask the Commission not only to delist the Confederate monument, but to replace it with a new historical site that stands for love, unity, and diversity. This site, we recommend, is Community African Methodist Zionist Church on 13th Street. In 1943, during World War II, the city of Vancouver built three community centers. One was named Harney Hill Center. It is now the site belonging to the largest and oldest African-American church in Vancouver, the Community African Methodist Zionist Church. In January 11, 1994, the church finalized a purchase from the city of Vancouver. Today, their membership has increased steadily and diversified. This site would be a great replacement for the Jefferson Memorial site. The NAACP of Vancouver would like to work with the commission to achieve this goal. I want to make a note about 1943, the community centers that Vancouver built. These community centers were for children, all children. They were not segregated, all children. This is our history. This is our pride. This is integrity. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, Rory Bowman and then Sue Marshall.
Thank you, commissioners, for the chance to speak today. My name is Rory Bowman. I'm a fifth generation Washingtonian. I was born and raised here in Vancouver. Went to elementary school just west of Monument, and junior high just south of Monument. I've also been a docent at the Catholic Little White House and at the Fort Vancouver National History Site, so I'm modern family with the history of the area. Walked by the, since I am myself at least 50 years old, I walked by that area where Monument was originally placed. Excuse me, it's been four locations. I was born after the 99 was widened, but remember at the Covington House, and I'd like to address segment B about it being significantly associated with history, architecture, or cultural heritage of the area. My fifth grade teacher, Mike Mullen, and during my centennial year, explained to us that that monument was placed there next to the Vancouver City marker because the city didn't want it. The one in Lane was placed there. They wanted to place it in each end of Washington State, Lane in Vancouver, and the city of Vancouver didn't want it. I wanted to look at photos of that to see where it was relative to the Vancouver marker, which still sits next to Covington House, but I don't think it was regionally significant. It was strategically significant. The place where it was, next to Covington House, which was very old, block cabin, used to be a meeting place and is next to Vancouver city marker, boundary marker. Wooded area, very, very different than the second, the third location by the county of the Carnegie Library and the present location, which is sort of like a Disneyland for neo-Confederates. The daughter of the Confederacy may have been relevant as a women's organization, but I don't know if there's any indication that they ever met at the Covington House. The Daughters of the American Revolution did meet. I think some of the other women's service organizations like the Scotlands did meet there, but I don't think it's relevant. Location, integrity of location, as the previous man said, is lost entirely. And on the last category, I don't see that it has anything to do with anything in the general U.S. history. It's been taken out, it was never wanted by the city, it's been taken out of location and moved so many times. The county, the Clark County Historical Society didn't want it, the city didn't want it, and Clark County should just want it. Thank you.
And Sue Marshall and then Tom Dolman.
Commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to comment on this issue. My name is Sue Marshall. I live in Ridgefield, Washington, and I'm here on behalf of Friends of Clark County. We're a membership-based organization whose mission is to make Clark County an even better place to live, work, and raise a family through conservation, advocacy, and education. We support the removal of the Jefferson Davis Highway marker from the Clark County Heritage Registry. This marker is offensive as it is a representation of the subjugation of a race of people and the fight to preserve slavery, a fight that was lost, but its racist underpinnings manage to persist and periodically flare up in the form of white nationalism. Public acknowledgement that these racist symbols under the guise of historic preservation undermines our community. It points out that some are still less valued than others. Having been removed from its original site on the southern end of Highway 99 in Vancouver, the marker then bounced around to several locations has already been mentioned and landed just off the freeway in Richfield in 2007. On its face, this marker in its current location is not historic, having been at the site for only 10 years. Additionally, on your website, the description of this historic site actually says that the monument itself is not deemed historically significant to Clark County, nor is the life of Jefferson Davis, but it was the grassroots effort by the United Daughters of the Confederacy. This marker commemorates Jim Crow era organizing efforts in support of white nationalism. It is a hurtful symbol to many people. As a small but important step toward reconciliation, we should not expend even one drop of ink in support of or acknowledging this marker. We recognize that this marker is on private property and you have no authority to remove it. However, we urge you to recommend removal of the Jefferson Davis Highway marker from the Clark County Heritage Registry. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Actually, I don't think Tom wanted to speak. He didn't mark that, unless I'm wrong. Okay, so the next person was Rhonda Walker and then a Matthew Philbrook. Does Rhonda Walker still want to speak? No? Does Matthew Philbrook want to speak? Okay.
Thank you. So in the paperwork, it says that the significantly associated with history, architecture, integrity, all that good stuff. The only significance of marker, the first and only Confederate president has, is to memorialize a fight for maintaining slavery and colonization. Notoriety from being included on county registers should be reserved for objects that remind us of how we can work together in love, just as how the Clark County and state of Washington I know exists today. Slavery and racism has not ended in our country, and I believe that we need to send a message loud and clear that we will not glorify slavery and oppression by removing this marker from the register. Thank you.
Next up is Aaron Russell, or Russo, and following that is Tina Birdsall. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing your names.
Hi everyone, my name is Aaron Russo. I'm a sociology professor at BSU, who's already in the line. Unlike any of you, I'm from Richmond, Virginia, capital of the Confederacy. As a southerner, we were only blocks away from Robert E. Lee Elementary School, not to mention statues of Stonewall Jackson, Lee, and Jefferson Davis. I think I would need to speak about this. I want to start this off with the obvious metaphor that no one has made yet, supposed to World War II Germany. It's both a useful and a flawed comparison, and I want to explain why. It's useful to understand that Nazis are not celebrated in Germany, and that their symbology is banned. Holocaust denial is a crime. Reparations are made to the surviving victims, and a lot of stolen property was returned. I'm not suggesting that Holocaust denial does not occur in Germany. What I am suggesting is that German people have made a firm cultural decision that this is a part of their past they regret and have taken steps to rectify it. There's a national memorial to the murdered Jews of Europe. Let's contrast this with the U.S., where slavery denial is practically a pastime. Bill O'Reilly can get on TV and educate everyone about how comfortable and content slaves were. Growing up in the South, I was taught about the war of Northern aggression, and slavery was irrelevant to that war. These are lies, plain and simple. Slavery was the basis of their entire economic system, and the South constitutions talk all about it. It's the reason they fought the entire war. What I think is poorly understood, except by those who have read Du Bois, is that the Confederates knew they were losing. They also knew they had an untapped resource, 2 million potential black soldiers. They debated it, they really did. We might be able to salvage this anymore, some of them said. Slavery apologists these days say things like, oh, it was a different time. The men in the Confederacy legislature knew what time it was. They knew the farm of enslaved people meant the end of slavery. It meant the end of the South. The first abolitionists have always had slaves, and the man with a gun will be a slave no longer. This brings us to why the Nazi regime is a bad metaphor. Like the South, the Nazis lost the war. But after Reconstruction, the Confederates took right back over again. They were the first to oppose Brown, and they were the first to oppose the Civil Rights Movement. And the first thing they did was start revising history with monuments and statues of their failed rebellion, to finally remember those days when they could legally own the people now demanding their rights as human beings. So let's teach history, not revise it in the way that defeated traitors want us to.
If we must have memorials and monuments, let them be for the victims of atrocity, not the ones who committed crimes against humanity as a matter of policy. On a more personal note, I grew up in a neighborhood that was entirely black, and a city that was ground zero for the anti-integrationist massive resistance that began in Richmond, Virginia. And that my public schools were 80% black as well, but the county schools were lily white. Confederate flags were forbidden. I never even saw one until I first went to the surrounding counties. The fury and the fear they instilled in me and my friends and my family will never leave me. They are frightening. The ideology is frightening. The lack of historical accuracy is frightening. But most of all, the idea that they are a heritage of something other than torture, rape, dismemberment, and separation, and everything else that goes with transgender people into property, frightens the hell out of me. Because wave one means you will give a rat's ass about wave one.
Your time. So, following Tina is Mike Ellison.
Bristles, and I am here on behalf of the Southwest Washington Emergency Response Network Against Hate. We are a committed group of people who have organized in Southwest Washington to mobilize responses to acts of hate. We are here to express a strong support for delisting of Jefferson Davis Park on the Clark County Historic Registry. According to the Historic Sites website, this highway's coast-to-coast designation is an important early project accomplished by an American women's organization. But reputable scholars and historic websites do not include this as an important accomplishment in Washington during that time. This particular item does not have an adequate educational nor historic significance to be included in the registry. It is important to consider when the marble slab was erected in order to contextualize the creation of the memorial. It was erected 73 years after the Civil War ended and during a decade of rising backlash against immigrants and minorities. This memorial, rather than celebrating the victory of the highway, was a means of institutionalizing and reifying a racist ideology that had officially lost almost three-quarters of a century before. As homeowners, renters, and taxpaying residents in Clark County, we do not support the message that is included in this quote memorial on this historic site sends. We strongly encourage you to take it off the list and begin the process of healing that our country needs still over 150 years after the conclusion of the Civil War. We want Clark County to represent inclusion and support for all of our neighbors, and this monument sends a very different and repugnant message.
Okay, following Mike Ellison is Howard Rubenstein.
Thank you for the chance to speak to you. Mike Ellison, moved to Vancouver when I was 6 weeks old, lived here almost all my life. I happened to be a Christian. The Jefferson Davis Park near Richfield, with its large Confederate flag and stone Jefferson Davis highway marker, is a symbol of bigotry and racial hatred to myself and some of my neighbors here in Clark County, many of them. In our national history, the Confederate flag stood for going to war to maintain a brutal, immoral system of racial slavery, and Jefferson Davis was a leader of that effort. In light of this history and recent violence against people of color, these symbols make some of my neighbors here feel less welcome and even less safe in our community. Because that is unacceptable and deeply troubling to me, I support taking the small step available to me of removing the Jefferson Davis highway marker from the Clark County's Heritage Register. I have noted the comments about the integrity of the location, and I think that you should question that, and you should question the proximity of that marker, and the placement of that marker in a memorial, as has been clearly stated tonight, a memorial to the Confederacy. And I don't see any significant association with our cultural heritage, if there is any, it is entirely negative. Thank you.
So after Howard, there's Rita Rubenstein.
Good evening, Commissioners. Thank you for hearing me. I want to speak to the requirement about integrity of location, design, setting materials, workmanship, feeling, and association, particularly feeling and association. My feeling when I see, when I drive down the highway, is one of disgust and sadness. The Clark County Historical Preservation Commission designation of the Jefferson Davis Memorial Road Markers as historical monuments acknowledges that it was not the 1939 markers per se that they were recognizing, but rather the accomplishment of the women who had strived to preserve history. These women are the United Daughters of the Confederacy. Who are the United Daughters of the Confederacy? Did they include my Jewish grandmother who wore scars on her back inflicted by Cossacks in Eastern Europe? Did they include black women who were regularly raped and had their children ripped from their arms? Did they include Native American women whose lands were stolen by early American colonizers? No. UTC members are blood descendants of Confederate soldiers and persons who provided material support to the Confederacy in what they still call the war between the states. The Southern Poverty Law Center classifies UDC as a neo-Confederate organization. It says that neo-Confederacy incorporates advocacy of traditional gender roles, is hostile towards democracy, strongly opposes homosexuality, and exhibits an understanding of race that favors segregation and suggests white supremacy. As an example of what they think, an article in their magazine in 1989 about the Middle Passage slave ships, the author wrote the following. The 16 inches of deck space allotted each slave is not all that smaller than the 18 inches the Royal Navy allowed for each sailor's hammock. And the slaves rapidly had more room due to the high death rates. In 2002, our Clark County Historical Preservation Commission deemed the work of these women worthy of recognition. This is not what we value today in Clark County. This was a deeply egregious mistake by the commission that must be corrected. Delist this site from our registry. Thank you.
Following Rita is Stephen McWilliams.
Good evening. I understand from your lawyer and the chair of your commission that we are to focus on criteria, so I've revised what I had planned to say. I did look at the list of items for the criteria, and I looked at the various sites that are also historically registered by this Preservation Commission. I was at the meeting last month, and I have to say that I'm a bit confused. I do note, as others have stated, that what the Historic Preservation Commission states on its website is that it's not the monument itself nor the life of Jefferson Davis that's being recognized here, but the significance lies in grassroots effort led by the United Daughters of the Confederacy for the designation and commemoration of Highway 99. To me, this registration seems odd in at least two ways. One, it involves a monument as opposed to buildings and bridges and other items which your criteria more clearly relate to. And two, it's recognizing the significance of a woman's group in their efforts to preserve history. And that seems like an exception. Both of these are exceptions to what's typically done by this commission. In their rationale, the UDC talked about the history of Jefferson Davis in road building up in the Northwest here, all well before we were a state here. But the materials that I find online, or I haven't visited now, but online, doesn't make it clear what it is about these women's efforts that deserve recognition. This evening, I learned from the first speaker that these monuments were intended to build bridges between the North and the South, and that's something else that I don't see reflected in the monument. For these reasons, and many others that others have said, I encourage you to delist it. Thank you.
Stephen McWilliams, then Mike Jokella.
Good evening, and thank you for the opportunity to speak. I want to bring the commissioner's attention to the nomination criteria C. Have integrity, location, design, settings, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association. The monument has been moved through multiple locations throughout its history, degrading location integrity. And that point alone would disqualify the monument from maintaining listing on the registry. Washington Heritage Register felt the same in 2002. I ask the commissioners to take the time to evaluate that criteria closely and think about the historical significance. Jefferson Davis and the Confederate States are a beacon of racism and white supremacy in today's society. All symbols that support these decommissioned ideals need to be removed. However, first step is to remove the Jefferson Davis Highway Marker from the Clark County Heritage Register. Without the Jefferson Davis Highway Marker on the register, the beacon of racism and white supremacy will no longer hold the right to be preserved in a physical historical site sponsored by recognition by Clark County. I want to stress that I do not believe Jefferson Davis and the Confederate States need to be erased from history. In fact, I believe Jefferson Davis is a prime example of what not to do for a free, culturally diverse, and progressive world. Thank you, members of staff.
Following Mike is Daniela Jokella.
Mike Jokella, Vancouver, 98663. The history of the U.S. is very messy. Is it all honorable? I would say no. Should we forget history? Absolutely not. Was Jefferson Davis significant to Clark County? I would argue no. There's been plenty of evidence to support that. At the beginning, the chairman spoke about the rich history of Clark County and the diverse community that we live in. Does this park exemplify the special elements of our history? I would argue that it does not. After its vandalism, which I don't condone, there were private property signs placed on the fences of the park. It's not a public park. Does it welcome our rich, diverse community to enjoy and understand our messy history? I would argue it does not. That is not significant. One other item, the markers themselves were built with granite from Georgia. So it does not have elements significant or indigenous to Clark County, Washington, or the Northwest. Rita had talked about the first speaker talking about bringing the North and the South together, dissolving bitterness between them. I would say that this park has encouraged that to silo communities and not to bring it together. And I would strongly suggest that the commission delist it from the registry to send a message to Vancouver, Clark County, Washington State, and the country that we support love, diversity, and we need to understand what our history is about, not that we are exclusive and we are a rich and diverse community that loves everyone in it. Thank you very much.
Following Danielle is Sherry Bush.
So I came prepared with some statements, but after listening to a number of the speakers, I need to revise my statements. I think that it's important to note that the historic registry specifically calls out that this is on the registry to honor the work of this group of women, but absolutely nothing about the monuments, nothing about the park. Sure, there's a plaque, but unless you are standing right on top of it, you don't see that plaque. When you're driving by I-5, what do you see? You see Confederate flags, and you see a giant sign that says Jefferson Davis Park and has a likeness of Jefferson Davis. Absolutely nothing that you would ever know has anything to do with this group of women or the work that they were hoping to achieve, regardless of who they are or what their intentions were. So I would encourage that we either revise the monument so that it actually accurately reflects that, or simply delist it. Having said that, I do want to talk about Mike just mentioned some of that bitterness. These women were supposedly trying to reconcile two sides, the North and the South. But right now, I think that these monuments across the nation, they're instilling bitterness, they're creating bitterness, and it's not achieving a goal. In fact, the existence of the Confederate flag flying alongside I-5 and displayed as part of the park sends an erroneous message to every person in the county and those passing through that Clark County believes in the ideals of the Confederacy. And for those descended from our dark history of slavery, that it sends a message to them that they are not safe here and they're not welcome here. And I don't know what is more bitter than that. I know that you can't remove the flags, we can't remove the sign, we can't stop people from thinking whatever they want to think and doing whatever they want to do on their own property, but we can stop our resources, our taxpayer resources, from contributing to this, supporting the oppression of others. If we really want to honor our history, I would urge the owners to contact the African American History Museum in Tacoma. They've offered to take the markers and to display them with an accurate history of how they came to be and their relationship to Washington State. Thank you.
Following sharing will be Chris Dudley.
Hello, thank you. My name is Sherry. I'm representing a local group called Human from Clark County. We need to remove the Jefferson Davis Highway marker from Clark County's Heritage Registry as it lacks integrity in feeling and association. By the Commission's own words, the movement itself, the monument itself, is not deemed historically significant to Clark County, nor is the life of Jefferson Davis, President of the Confederate States of America, during the Civil War. Rather, the significance lies in the grassroots effort led by the Daughters of the Confederacy for the designation and commemoration of Highway 99. Now, another grassroots movement appears before you, this time to disavow the Confederacy from the heritage of Clark County. Formally, this commission has honored a culture which reveres Davis for his role in the Confederacy and supposedly for the creation of roads in Washington. However, Clark County's culture has shifted towards inclusivity, one that celebrates the strength of diversity and acknowledges the collective failures of the past. For those who believe that we want to erase history, I can only tell you that that is the farthest thing from the truth. Our movement examines history and brings former injustice to light. For we shall not overlook who Davis really was in the context of American history. Did Davis serve in the U.S. federal government and order roads to be surveyed in Washington? Yes. Was this profound leadership? No. It was common sense order that he had little to do with, as he never even traveled to this region. Thus, we examine his greater legacy. Did he betray our federal government by supporting and leading the Confederacy? Yes. He strongly believed that southern states had sovereignty to own slaves, perpetuating economic wealth for the upper class through free black labor. Historian William J. Cooper states that Davis believed in a southern social order that included a democratic white polity based firmly on dominance of a controlled and excluded black caste. We in Clark County should not and do not find it significant to honor anything designated to Davis, even the poultry highway marker, as his legacy is one of white supremacy, shame, and the oppression of African Americans, through which the lasting effects of slavery still exist and systemic racism to this day. This is not our heritage, nor do we want it to be. Today, we must assure our Black neighbors that the majority of Clark County residents find their lives and their freedoms more significant than those who would have kept them chained. Thank you.
Following Chris Dudley is Matthew Ferber.
Chris Dudley, Richfield Community Group. Thank you so much for having us. I really appreciate your time and your thoughts. I just want to step through a couple of the quick things here. The nomination criteria B and C are problematic for the continued listing. I do not find the monument significantly associated with our history. And I think it lacks integrity based on the purpose provision of integrity. Number one, safeguarding heritage of the county. I do not believe that listing this safeguards the heritage of this county. And I do not believe it fosters a sense of identification for our cultural history. So there's some really straightforward things. I think that you can simply delist this based on the fact that the applicant failed to meet the requirement to provide an amended application as well. So I think the job is pretty clear cut for you as far as whether or not to list it. I hope that you will be listed. I think that all of everything falls on your side for delisting it. And might I say, regarding a conversation that came up or a question that was asked in an earlier board meeting, history has no responsibility to ameliorate, to make us feel better. All we ask of it is the truth, the unvarnished truth. And this presentation of the United Daughters of the Confederacy monument beneath the big flowing flags of a rebellious nation is not. It does, in fact, ameliorate, and it does make a certain group feel better. It is not an integral presentation of history. And so for that matter, that a more emotional matter, I guess, or a more subjective matter, I also ask you to delist it. But specifically, there are very clear nomination criteria that have not been met, that continue to not be met, for the lack of the amended application. Thank you for your time.
Following Matthew is Nana, difficult name here, Shaw Sepp. Okay, sorry.
Hello. I've heard the argument at the beginning that the Jefferson Davis Highway and its memorial was part of a history that was worth honoring. Mike brought this up again, that it was part of a period of healing between the North and South, and that it was part of the era, and it was actually a good thing. This supposed healing between the North and South was only really achieved, though, by continuing the oppression of African Americans in new forms. Former Confederate slave holders and others of the Confederacy were appeased through Jim Crow laws that kept former slaves as second-class citizens. These memorials were part of that oppression. Not a good time to shut off phone. They created an atmosphere of hatred and violence that terrorized. This is why everybody else wrote their notes down on paper. Your technology is coming. All right. These memorials were a part of that oppression. They created an atmosphere of hatred and violence that terrorized African American communities. Things are better than they once were, but racism continues to flourish today. Jefferson Davis lived a long life and accomplished many things, presumably. But his historical significance, and this is what we're about here, historical significance, comes only from his defense of slavery and white supremacy. I think it's silly to pretend that there is a monument honoring him because he made a highway or something, because he ordered a highway. But people only know him for the one thing, and that's white supremacy, that's defending slavery. And that's what that monument is meant to honor. you can see clearly that it is having its intended effect. It's offending and insulting members of our community to the great joy of others. It should not be given the official sanction that these offenders so clearly crave.
Following Manna is Robin Crocker.
Good evening. Well, let's say Christian Fox, I pronounced my last name perfectly, so.
Jeez.
My name is Manna Fox.
That's why I asked her to read the names.
I'm going to be reading on behalf of Hector Reyes. He is a Vancouver resident and family member of the Southwest Washington Emergency Response Network Against AIDS. So here we go. At the core of the discussion of the imperative to delist the historical marker of the Jefferson Davis Monument, Clark County lies in a key consideration that supersedes all other ones. Whether Davis or any other enslaver and Confederate goal ever lay a foot in Clark County or its immediacy is a dangerous distraction from the main issue at hand. Whether historical markers are not meant to highlight monuments is a technical consideration that obfuscates for our most important concern. Excuse me. For what we vigorously need to highlight is a basic question. Does our county or any branch of our government, do our civic institutions want to be associated in any shape or form with a monument that glorifies chattel slavery and white supremacy? For when a public institution, even if it washes its hands and denies any endorsement of it, engages in cataloging such a despicable monument as something that may be of interest to some passerby, it unavoidably gets recruited into its legitimation. Whether it likes it or not, it becomes an accomplice in the normalization of white supremacy and violent bigotry. Let's be frank. The erection of such monument in our midst, it has no historical remembrance purpose. The real purpose is to plant a flag, the flag of white supremacy, to stake initial ground, to instigate fear, and to recruit disturbed souls into a project of ethnic cleansing and violent segregation, of the evocation of violence to suppress any targeted groups or individuals. This is a question this honorable commission needs to ask itself. Do you want to be associated with legitimizing such despicable project? After all, in Germany there are no public monuments of Hitler or any other Nazi that the government pretends is some sort of historical lesson. What you find are monuments to the victims. And thus, in closing, I want to not only demand that the Historical Preservation Commission delist the historical marker for the Davis Monument, for that is the minimum they must do, but I want to also plead with the Commission to go further. I want the Commission, in due consideration of the professed values of non-discrimination, justice, and equality of Clark County, to approve and make public a simple resolution, a resolution unequivocally denouncing the existence of any monument exalting white supremacy in Clark County, whether in public or private lands. Thank you.
Following Robin Crocker is Donna Sinclair. Is Robin Crocker here? Okay. Are you Donna?
I'm not.
Okay.
Sorry, getting ready.
All right. Following Donna is Jan.
I spent 6 months of my life on crutches one time, so I understand.
I've got 6 weeks. Thank you. Okay. My name is Donna Sinclair, and I live in Washougal, and I'm a sixth generation Northwesterner. My family came to the United States in the 1600s, and then came west in the 1850s. I'm also a historian and a professor of history. I'm not here representing anyone but myself. I want to just say a few things, because a lot of people have made really important points today. Two especially important points are the integrity of location, which Dr. Doug Wilson and several others alluded to, something that I was going to talk about. But what I want to say is that there's a very distinct difference between history and heritage. So history is based on change over time, past events. Heritage is based on our cultural sense of who we are. And this is the Clark County Heritage Register. This isn't about the history. We don't even have to argue about Jefferson Davis. What we know is that we have a public entity that is implicitly sanctioning the United Daughters of the Confederacy. And there have been some things said tonight about them that are not true. 1913 is when the Jefferson Davis Memorial Highway was created, the 50th anniversary of the beginning of the Civil War. That was a time when the Civil War history was essentially rewritten. Dr. Wilson also alluded to the lost cause idea. The Southern story was spread across the country through things like the Jefferson Davis Highway. Now, the Sons of the Confederacy who are here in Clark County have private property and they have every right to fly their flag. They feel very strongly a sense of connection to the Confederacy for various reasons, and I believe that some of them think that the Civil War really was not fought about slavery. However, historians agree that it was about slavery as an economic system. And it's really important for us to understand that in this diverse community that we now live in, that heritage does not reflect who we are. The UTC story about a women's movement creating these monuments and the markers that were placed in 1939 is, I say, it's kind of an egregious way of creating a sense of who we are that isn't true. There are a lot of women's movements that we could be commemorating in Clark County, and I would urge us to do that. The UPC is not one of them. The other thing that I want to say is that it's really important for us to recognize that this wasn't about reconciliation, but we now have a chance for the kind of reconciliation that people are talking about and for a conversation about the reality of history and our sense of identity and cultural heritage and who we are. Thank you.
Following Jan is Eric Ernst. Jan Ferrander is next, and then Eric.
This will take 3 minutes because I didn't do any homework, but all these people did. Thank you very much. I am from the South. I guess Jefferson Davis is my heritage, but I feel a lot more at home up here and with the values I've heard expressed today about diversity. I came simply, I didn't know what to expect, I didn't know you had criteria, of course you do. I just came to ask you to delist. Thank you.
All right, Eric Ernst is next, and then Michael Patterson. Oh, actually, no. Eric Ernst is the last on the list that wanted to speak.
That's interesting. Greetings. Sorry, I can't hear you, my FedEx closed. But my name is Eric Ernst. I live in Portland, Oregon, lived here my whole life. I am the creator of the Pacific Northwest Division of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, which is part of a 501c3 organization called Sons of Confederate Veterans, started in 1896. Our purpose is to honor and defend the Confederate soldiers' good name and make sure that the true history of the South is presented to future generations. Why I came up here to speak was, I'm also on the Jefferson Davis Park Board and I'm one of the people who maintain it. It was mentioned that the Jefferson Davis established the postal routes and roads, military roads in the Northwest, but besides that, he also established the coastal defenses in the state of Washington and Oregon, so like Fort Stevens, Fort Columbia. That's also a big important piece. The Blaine marker, which is sitting in our park right now, is actually just a temporary place for it to stay until a additional park can be established on the north end of the state to kind of complete this. The location was chosen right next to Interstate 5. I mean, the markers are within 100 yards, they're probably 75 yards from the freeway lanes. Because Interstate 5 was where Highway 99 was located. And in regards to the question, well, actually, before someone mentioned the no mention of the UDC on the property. Well, that's not actually true. On our sign, it actually mentions the United Daughters of the Confederacy, which has their symbol on there. and the Sons of Confederate Veterans, which is just all a joint effort between our two organizations. And unfortunately, there is no local chapter of the UDC in the Vancouver area, but there is one in Seattle, and unfortunately, none of the women can make it tonight. But the flags that are flying, the third national Confederate flag is actually representing our organization, and we fly the first national flag up there specifically because that's the flag that the UDC flies. I would just strongly urge you to keep the monument on the county registry of historic places, and that's about all I have to say. Thank you for your time tonight.
Is there anyone else who wished to speak and didn't sign? Oh, I guess we got more on the list.
This is the public comment, like not the end of our agenda. Oh. But Holly, this, I think she signed up. She must have done it.
Well, while you think about it, if you weren't already listed, I have a few that are still on a list. Holly Chamberlain. Holly Chamberlain, do you want to speak? Okay.
Thank you for your time tonight, Commissioners. At the time the nomination was presented to the Preservation Commission, the majority of commissioners voted in favor of the listing based on established criteria. As a public official, one uses one's professional evaluation, not personal opinion. History doesn't always suit our own views of what life should be like, and there are many views of what is true and just and good. The Clark County Heritage Register is meant to be a compendium of events, architecture, and below ground resources. The register is a documentation and a record, not a celebration. I am disturbed to learn tonight that the stipulations placed on the nomination at the time of its presentation have not been met, and I'm troubled down by the changes of location and setting. I suggest that the commission hold a workshop on the process for placing resources on the register so that this can be a continuing conversation about the history of our county. Nominations vary greatly as to their length and quality, but the process is meant to be open to all, not just professional historians and archaeologists. There are even, in fact, now many more additional research resources available online than have been in the past. A public workshop would help clarify how to prepare for a listing and the whole process. Most importantly, whether a property qualifies for the local register or not, community conversations must continue about our past to help inform our present and future. The Landmark Commission and Landmark Process are not the only ways to document history, and I hope that we can continue to work with some of the institutions about heritage in our community to encourage other kinds of exhibits that document our past, not just the Clark County Heritage Register. Thank you for your time.
Did Robin Birdsall want to speak? Is it clear? And also, I have a Saca de la Fuente. No? Was there anyone else who wanted to speak and didn't sign in to speak tonight? All right, I see one hand. Could you come forward and give your name and address?
Sure. I don't need to sit down. I'm Sharon Brunner. I live in
Actually, ma'am, you have to sit down so we can get you on the microphone.
Okay.
Could you spell your name for the record?
S-H-A-R-R-O-N, Brainerd, B-R-A-I-N-A-R-D. I think the reasons for delisting have been adequately presented by previous speakers. I would like to call everyone in the room's attention to the words on the wall over here of all of Wendell Holmes. I find the great thing in this world is not so much where we stand as in the direction we are moving. And we are moving, I hope, towards a county, a state, a country where unity is more possible than it has been recently. This monument, I think, is the wrong direction. And I hope that you will delist. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wanted to speak tonight before we We can only have you testify once.
Thank you, Board. Staff?
Could you spell your name for the record if you were already signed in?
My name is Lee Jensen, J-E-N-S-E-N.
Okay, thank you.
And on the item B for criteria, it says, be significantly associated with history. I was taught that Robert E. Lee and others of the time after the Civil War did not want monuments to the Civil War officers from the South. They wanted the country to heal. So to have a monument now for officers from the South is really, that's contrary to what history was at the time. Thank you.
All right, anyone else that wanted to speak tonight? Come forward. I see Anne in the back there. And please spell your name.
My name is Garth McKinney, first name Garth, G-A-R-T-H, last name McKinney, capital M, lowercase c, capital K-I-N-N-E-Y. And I'd like to say that first and foremost, I'm the first lieutenant commander of the 7th Confederate Veterans Pacific Northwest Division, and I'd like to further state that I respect all the opinions that have been shared here today, and I understand that there is a great concern over our monuments considering recent events. I believe it is important to state that the group that showed such a great deal of bigotry in Charlottesville does not stand for the Sons of Confederate Veterans, nor do they stand for what we represent and what we hope to represent in the future. A group such as that only discloses their divisive being to separate our population, whereas we here at the SCV only wish to educate those of the history that have taken place between the years of 1860 and 1865. Now, I understand that there was also groups here today that have taken the time to say that they would like to relocate the monuments, whether it be in museums, or that they have their own belief in how they wish these monuments to be portrayed through history. I would ask these people, rather than ask us to remove these monuments and move them, to allow only one voice to speak for what these mean, to come together with us and work with us to try to find a way for all of our history to be spoken about and for all of our history to be honored at this site. This site does not have to be a marker of just one group of people, nor does it have to be a marker of one race. The Sons of Confederate Veterans is a group of a variety of people, those of African heritage, Native American heritage, those of Caucasian heritage. We have people that are of various religions. We don't care what your sexuality is. We have people of all sexualities. We have people of all ethnic backgrounds. All we ask is that we get the chance to speak for what we believe in and allow you to do the same. And so with that, I thank you guys for allowing me to speak here today, and I wish you all the very best.
Is there anyone else here that hasn't had an opportunity to speak and would like to? All right, I see another hand in the crowd. Could you spell your name for the record?
My name is Carol, C-A-R-O-L-E, Dollmore, D-O-L-L-E-M-O-R-E. And I guess I just wasn't comfortable having it end that way. I didn't know about the park until recently, and even though I saw it on the internet, I was like, I just couldn't believe it. I saw it on my phone, and my husband and I went out there, he knew about it. And I walked into the park on the little gravel pathway, and I looked around and I read the sign, and I looked at the highway, and I lived here for 40 years. And I couldn't believe that this park was in our community. It really upset me. And I hope that you can delist it, because this is not, like, I was reading that on the wall there, and I was saying, boy, that's the answer. So please, listen to us, because we want to move in the right direction. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that has not had an opportunity to speak tonight that would like to? Seeing none. All right.
If there is no more public comment, we will consider the public hearing closed.
Robert, I just wanted to know to ask this question all about what the act states. I was provided
Oh, okay.
Would we read that now or during the commission deliberations? Let's go ahead and begin the commission deliberations with that, because I believe that was Commissioner Manley's input.
This is the text that's on the marker, the United
Daughter. Oh, I apologize.
That was the condition set.
I'm sorry, yes, please proceed.
Okay. The concept of Jefferson Davis Memorial Highway was presented and adopted at the United Daughters of the Confederacy, UDC, General Convention in 1913. The plan envisioned the highway beginning in Virginia on the banks of the Potomac, passing through the southeast of Kentucky, Davis' birthplace. The highway continued to move west to the Gulf region and into California. Members of the Washington Division, UDC, wished to extend the highway into Washington as a final link of a nationwide network of roads. The UDC supported a bill introduced into the 1939 state legislature to designate the Pacific Coast Highway as the Jefferson Davis Highway. Although the bill did not pass, the Department of Highways authorized the UDC to place road markers at the point at which the Pacific Coast Highway from Oregon entered Washington and where the highway met the Canadian border. United Daughters of the Confederacy dedicated the Vancouver marker, Jefferson Davis Highway No. 99, in June of 1939. The marker was moved from its original location and installed at the present site in 2002. Jefferson Davis attended West Point, fought in the Black Hawk Indian War, and was an American hero in the Mexican War. He served as a U.S. Congressman from Mississippi and was appointed Secretary of War in the cabinet of President Franklin Pierce in 1853. By an act of Congress, February 14, 1853, a military reservation was created in Vancouver on the Columbia River, was confirmed by Jefferson Davis in an official communication with the Commanding General of the Pacific Division of the U.S. Army. While Secretary proposed the transcontinental railroad system to the South and secured funding for surveys that resulted in the building of roads and railway service. He was elected to be a senator in 1867 and resigned in 1861 when Mississippi seceded from the Union to become General of the Mississippi Militia. February 18, 1861, he was inaugurated as the only president of the Confederate States of America. Jefferson Davis Memorial Highway was intended to honor his achievements.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. Okay, we'll now consider the public hearing closed. And we'll open it up for the commission to deliberate on what we've heard this evening. So maybe I'll begin then. Much of the commentary that we've heard from the public is regarding Jefferson Davis himself and his contributions. It's clear from the documentation provided by staff that the highway marker was determined not to be significantly associated with the life of Jefferson Davis. And it was listed due to its association with the United Daughters of the Confederacy. So I'm not really sure how much deliberation we need to put into Jefferson Davis in relationship with his life. I think that there's certainly a mixed history there. I personally am of the mind that history is there to learn from. I think of famous quote from philosopher George Satayama that those who forget history are condemned to repeat it. And I think that's why we have, in part, historic preservation, and that's part of the role it serves, and that's why we have recognition of history, whether it's good and bad. But in this case, I'm not sure that the life of Jefferson Davis is relevant to this nomination or this discussion.
I think that's been established. The original nomination decision stated that, didn't it?
Yeah. How sweet is she?
Oh, sorry. I think that discussion has sort of been had already, that it's not Jefferson Davis himself that is the significant tie, that it's the grassroots effort of the UDC. And, you know, my understanding, the UDC never had a chapter in Clark County. I don't know if that's correct or not, but I couldn't find anything. I think it was the Seattle chapter that spearheaded this in the state. And so I don't know that you can say that, and the reason that Vancouver was chosen is that because it's the southern terminus of Highway 99. It didn't, Vancouver or Clark County wasn't chosen for any particular affinity for Jefferson Davis or the UDC. So I don't know that criteria of being significantly associated with the history, archaeology, and so forth applies.
I think that when we look at the original nomination, it's profoundly flawed, really, when it comes down to it. And that one statement about the actions of the UDC, I think, is very insufficient. And I think it's what is missing there is where we can find where there might be that significance for this marker in terms of national history. You know, this marker, as some of the people have testified, is part of a whole system of monuments in this country that are rooted in this lost cause ideology that really looked to replace the history of the Civil War and the history of what happened with this mythology, you know, propagating the idea that it was about states' rights when almost every declaration of segregation said it was about slavery. And Jefferson Davis himself, you know, was actually part of that myth-making. When he wrote his, The Rise and Fall of the Confederate Government, he planted a lot of seeds of that mythology. And, you know, if you think about it, the success of the movement was profound, that we could have a movie like Gone with the Wind in this country, you know, celebrating with some, you know, the people and the culture that was on, you know, the losing end of the Civil War. And the reality is that this system of monuments was used as an element of racism. It was used to establish white supremacy in our country. If we look at the peak building period of these monuments in our country, it coincides with the rise of segregation laws, the rise of Jim Crow, the reestablishment of the KKK. You know, and in fact, when the United Daughters of the Confederacy were advocating for this marker to be raised, they had their own publication called The Southerner. You know, the Southern Magazine. And they were giving a full-throated defense of the KKK and their quote-unquote defense of the Anglo-Saxon South against the white man, against the black man. So I think that there's the significance of this marker is in this larger national narrative that so many people have talked about. Why it bothers them is also the same basis for its significance. I think one of the other things that's been brought up a lot is the integrity of location. But if we follow our ordinance actually foresees that sometimes objects, especially historical objects, get moved. So under F1G, you can be significant because it's a historic building or cultural resource removed from its original location. So we have this thing built into our ordinance that objects that are moved can still be considered historic. And so I think that there is a really strong argument to be made for the historic significance of this object, although it's probably not the significance that most of the people who have spoken out in favor of its retention might embrace. And going beyond that, I think that, you know, there might be some who say, I don't care. I don't care about its significance. I don't want Clark County to be associated with it. But I think our historical not quite following our ordinance is what got us in this situation. We had a nomination that didn't establish its significance, but we listed it anyway. The application for a certificate of acceptance of appropriateness for moving it was submitted, and the discussion was not about the marker's actual historic significance. The City of Vancouver and the Clark County Historic Museum just wanted to disassociate themselves from this marker. And it's because they wanted to disassociate themselves with this from this marker that it ended up where it is. You know, if they hadn't wanted to have this disassociation, the marker would be at a museum where there could be a sign giving historical context. Instead, it's sitting in a private park with Confederate flags flying over it. So I think that if you look at our ordinance, there is an implicit obligation of this commission to educate the community, to preserve the history of the community. And I think all these parts, as negative as they are part of that.
So, on that note, we received some commentary from, I think it was Ms. Williams, who mentioned that she was confused when she read the materials regarding the nomination. And I'll be honest, as I was preparing for this meeting, I was rather confused too. I thought the documentation was probably insufficient. The main basis for its listing was for the United Daughters of the Confederacy. I thought there was really a lack of references, footnotes, documentation in general to really support what was in the nomination, even though it was admittedly well written. And I think that this is one of the challenges that we've had, that my own personal thoughts, as I've been on the commission and I've looked at some of the things that get on the Heritage Register, and that is that we sometimes see the Heritage Register, because it's within our own scope of control here in Clark County, that maybe we don't need as high a threshold of documentation or scrutiny for some of the listings. And I think that here today, we've encountered a situation where we really needed that, and we needed this nomination to be vetted more fully, whether it had been listed or not. I think one of the proponents for its listing back in 2002, Holly Chamberlain, who we heard from tonight, had stipulated that more information be added on May Avery Wilkins, and that more information on why Clark County was chosen as the location for the marker, which was another question that came to mind. I don't think that was adequately established within the nomination itself. So there's just a lot of details lacking that, if this were coming before us for the first time today, I would have expected to see, and probably sent back for further work before I would have ever personally voted for approval of its listing. Any additional thoughts?
Yeah, I think I agree with all that. And then also we have our, you know, we have our four criteria and our seven integrities. And it's interesting, on the original application, there were no findings at all about association setting or workmanship. And association setting, I think, are crucial, and they weren't even mentioned. And in the certificate of appropriateness, staff came right out and said that it considered it ineligible because of the location criteria not being met. But you have a counter for that. But setting, I think, is more than just location, and setting really wasn't addressed very much in the certificate. And at the time, it was simply the monument in an open field. And now there's a great deal of additional physical context around it, and so that speaks to setting. And so if we were to consider it now, with everything, you know, where it is now and all of the data that we have in front of us, I would say that the setting, the association, and the location together are kind of all pointing towards a complete break with its original historical context. So that's my comment on that.
I think everything that I could say has already been said. I speculated my mind a little bit about what might have been going through the minds of the commission back in the day when they considered this thing. And I'm at a loss to explain it. Apart from the possibility that it was awkward then as it is now, and that they did a bit of a shell game, that making the decision that they made enabled them to avoid making a more sensitive issue out of this. And regardless of whether I'm right or wrong about my speculation, that's not really the criteria that we're looking at. And I would simply say that in terms of the various elements of integrity here, I believe everything that concerns me has been expressed already.
I would also ask, Chris, I mean, technically, is it on the register if the nomination has never been signed and those supporting documents have never been provided? I mean, are we...
My understanding is that it is on the register.
Okay. Signature is not a...
Minutes of votes by the commission to, in favor of a certificate of appropriateness, to have it on the commission, or on the list, and to move it to where it is now located. So
okay.
I would say it's there.
Jack, you need this to be a good time to read in Brock's contribution.
Commissioner Rockfamily, who couldn't be here tonight, he just had a statement. But I'll read into the record. The 2002 nomination was at the 1930s era efforts of the Daughters of the Confederacy as a woman's group struggling against a misogynistic society. Though a true story, in hindsight, it was questionable justification for heritage register status for this object. The HPC has turned down several applications that relied on similarly secondary, associative, but well-intentioned synthesis during my tenure on this commission. I disagree with the 2002 nomination. I find that, especially given developments at its current location, the monument doesn't have integrity of location, design, feeling, and association necessary for inclusion on the register. Whether in its current setting or not, I find that the monument does not serve to help us understand history by eliminating the local, statewide, or nationwide impact of the events or persons associated with the property. I find the monument does not have exceptional value in representing or illustrating an important theme in the history of a local area, state, or nation. The monument is not directly tied to our history. Instead, it exists solely in reference to other events or persons or historic themes, like a footnote in a book or the caption below a photo or an interpretive plaque. On all counts, it falls short of meeting the CCHR criteria.
Thank you. Any other comments with regard to the nomination? Okay, we have been advised to go through each of the criteria for listing. And so I will read them and take any comments as we go through these.
Were you thinking you needed to make a motion on each criterion? Was that the idea?
I would just say whatever the motion is, that's, you know, approved, that it, whoever is stated what criteria that you're using to make your decision.
But do we need to address each of the criteria?
Individually. I mean, then you also run into certain aspects of integrity.
Well, yeah. Chris, do you have any insight here?
That seems a little cumbersome.
I was going to say, are you doing this just to leave something for posterity? So that decades from now, when they reconsider this issue, they'll have something to refer to that we don't have to.
I think that's actually an interesting point to make. You know, tonight we're not concluding that this marker may never reach, you know, if tonight we say it doesn't quite meet all of these, this criteria, that in another 10 years, or if they move it to another location, it might be considered at that time again.
Or if more information is added, that puts it in more historical context. So, I mean, I think that's part of the problem.
Our historic registry is very much a living, it's a living thing in our community as we've described it throughout the night, as groups bring things forward, as they introduce us to their buildings and tell us about the history of that building and the people that worked, lived, built that building, or grave sites even that are significant in our community, and who that person was that owned that property and who died there, and their family that continues to live and work on the property, etc. So a lot of these features on our registry have that sort of detail, and we're able to really fully consider it and discuss it. And just saying that whatever we decide tonight, like you said, it could come back 10 years from now, 2 years from now.
And if we delist it, the owners of this property and these markers, they still own it. I mean, they can come back and reapply 20 years from now?
I did, yes.
Right. Yeah, and in looking back at the minutes from 2002, Marjorie Reeves of the United Daughters of the Confederacy then stated that she felt it was important to list the monument on the Heritage Register to preserve it. And the monument, of course, was moved. It now sits on private property, and it's been preserved, and it's exhibited privately. So the concern for preservation itself, I believe, has been met.
Excuse me, I don't think I answered the question, though. Do you need to deal with every criterion? And if you would like me to address that, I can.
Yes.
Please do.
Okay. So, it will be necessary to write findings. And I would suggest that after your vote this evening, you return the matter to staff to write findings, and that you adopt the findings, which will be based on your vote, at next meeting. Though you will make the decision tonight, you should have documented findings to support it. So when you vote on findings, you won't be voting to list or delist, which is simply what's the basis for the decision. In order to inform the public and staff as to why you are making a decision that you are making, it would make sense that you either vote to retain the marker on the heritage list because it meets all the criteria, or that you explain your view of criteria that it does not meet. And that doesn't have to be something long and drawn out, because you've all discussed your views and we have heard from the public on the criteria. But you could, if you could just say what it is that you think it doesn't meet, then it will be possible to put together some findings that address those criteria.
So perhaps we could have a motion. Well, one motion.
I have a quick question for you, Chris. You know, I know building codes, and in building codes, they're regulated by this issue that if there's a conflict between different provisions of the code, the more specific prevails. So in this, we have one criteria that talks about integrity of location and setting, but then we have a more specific criteria that says even when an object has been moved. And so there's an apparent conflict there between the two.
But I don't know that that's the criteria. I mean, I think the criteria for determining the eligibility is if it is significantly associated with the history, architecture, archaeology, engineering, cultural heritage of the community, then two, if it has integrity of location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association, and then three, if it's 50 years old. I think those are the criteria.
Well, in addition to those three criteria, the listing must meet one of the following criteria that are below
the 11.
Those. And one of those says G, and this is not one that was where there was a positive finding in favor in 2007 or 2002. It says, is a historic building or cultural resource removed from its original location? So first question, is it a historic building? Second, if it's not that, is it a cultural resource? Okay, removed from its original location, but which is significant for architectural value or association with a historic person or event or prehistory. So in order to bring the exception to the locational integrity provision into play, I think you need to determine that it meets all those things in 1G there.
Because I imagine we have other resources that have been moved.
Yes, and I'm saying if you want to bring that into play, you need to justify it based on the fact, based on your view, that it meets everything that's described in 1G.
But my understanding is if we come to the conclusion that it does is not significantly associated with the history, architecture, archaeology, and so forth with the community, then we really don't even need to go further than that to look at those other 11 criteria.
That is correct.
Okay.
It must meet all of the top three.
The top three first.
It must meet one of the bottom three.
So, I mean, my feeling is that it is not significantly associated with this community. Its placement was random because we are the southern terminus of the highway. The UDC was never here in Clark County. So to me, it doesn't speak to our history as a county. And then the number two criteria is I feel like it's lost its feeling of location, for one, and setting an association. I mean, this is supposed to be a fairly nondescript highway marker. It is now festooned with Confederate flags and signage, and I feel like that has undermined its integrity, its original intent as a highway marker.
Well, or its original intent as a celebration of Confederacy.
I'm going off of what the nomination stated, which is what we're doing. I mean,
we've had public testimony to other things. I mean, if we're always limited to what the nomination says, that means that everything that this commission does is always going to be limited to the limitations of the ability of people who filled out the nomination.
Well, we can ask for more information.
Well, no, I mean, we're limited to what's stated in Clark County Code.
And we're limited to what's before us now, what's on the record. I mean, we're not, I don't think at this point, for more information or anything.
And we had quite a lot of testimony submitted to the record beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
We've all had the opportunity to do our own research as well. So I think
there's
we bring a lot more to this decision tonight than just who showed up. So
we do.
I guess I would say that is not a true statement. And we do have a lot to weigh when it comes to both the first three criteria. I mean, obviously, the first one it does meet. It's over 50 years old. But I don't think that you can weaken an argument on B and C when you talk about associated, as you were saying, on the history of this region. And you definitely don't have an architectural argument to make. This monument is not done by a master in their craft or anything along those lines where you could argue that the marker itself is a feature that people would visit just because it's an amazing thing to see, like a bridge that we've nominated bridges or other important buildings. So I think, the A and B is not met, C is not met. And so, yes, I would be going into the realm of D is fall into at least one of the categories identified, but we don't need to go there. And as I stated earlier, just because tonight we may find that it doesn't meet the criteria doesn't mean that at some point, if the group who has these monuments on their property comes forward with more information and wants to submit a nomination, they're definitely free to do so, just like anyone else in our community who wants to nominate something of important historical value to our registry.
I do have serious concerns about the idea of just stopping at location, because that means that every resource we have on our register right now that has been moved needs to be delisted.
No, we're not stopping there. We're just pointing out that, for a property to have integrity, location mm-hmm. is one. Now, there is an out for that, which G provides. If something is moved but has exceptional merit, a historic merit, then it could, still be retained on a register. But we're not saying that simply because it was moved that it is no longer eligible. That is perhaps a contributing reason, but I think there are other things that have undermined its historic integrity. But I think the biggest issue is that I just don't see where the connection to our community, where the historic tie is. Like, you know, we nominate things to the register to remember our history in this community, and this plaque doesn't really fit in terms of representing a specific history of Clark County. I mean, you know, I've mentioned it before. I mean, the players behind it aren't rooted in Clark County. The location was chosen because of our point on the north side of a river. You know, so it doesn't speak to our community or from our community. So to me, I think that's the biggest issue as far as the criteria go.
Although criteria A is national history as well, and criteria G is not specifically about
local history. I mean, if they wanted to do a multiple property listing of all the markers across the United States, it would probably be eligible for the National Register, perhaps. But having one marker for Clark County on the Clark County Register, it just doesn't meet our own criteria as far as significant association with our county.
To my reading of our
ordinance.
My sense is there may be some point where we kind of cross roads with points of history, but to identify those as justification for this is a real stretch. And I think I want to honor the fact that there are those people who will differ from our conclusion, whatever it turns out to be, and recognize that they might be able to cite some instance where Jefferson Davis, for example, had a third cousin on his mother's side or something that passed through Clark County at one time. I'm saying that those associations may exist, but I think they're not significant. I think they're minor, relatively speaking.
I'd actually say that the presence of all these people here attests to the significance and the significance of the connection, that it's not a minor thing, it's not a small interaction, that if the connection of this marker to these national events were not this strong, they wouldn't have showed up. We're in a bit of a catch-22 here, where most of the arguments for why people have found this marker offensive or hurtful, or for why it makes people feel unwelcome, most of those are rooted in the connection of this object to this rather significant national trend. Anti-Reconstructionism probably did more to damage race relations in this country than anything except for slavery itself. That is, I think, a rather tremendous connection, and that our community, you know, we were chosen, and you're completely right. We didn't choose it, but we were chosen and let it be put here.
I think most of the commentary that we've heard is around Jefferson Davis, the role he played in the Confederacy, the Civil War, the connection to slavery, but again, the original findings were that this marker did not have any significant connection to the life of Jefferson Davis, right? So I understand that that's very polarizing, and it's brought out a lot of strong feelings from both sides of the community. But I'm not sure that's at issue. Is the United Daughters of the Confederacy itself as polarizing? I'm not sure. If I look back at the 2002 nomination, and Jackie did a great job of summarizing this in the staff report, it argues that the marker's area of significance fell into three areas below, and one is from section 40, 250, 30, F, A, is associated with the events that have made a significant contribution to the broad patterns of national, state, or local history. I think that's questionable based on the documentation. As we've discussed, even in 2002, they felt that there was insufficient documentation to support that, and they asked for more. D, exemplifies or reflects special elements of the county's history. I think that the comments that Alex is making are appropriate. It's kind of hard to make a solid connection between the United Daughters of the Confederacy and Clark County specifically. It's kind of an epicenter for their activity and what they were attempting to do. There's really no documentation in terms of why specifically Clark County was important to be the location of the marker. And then the other one was E, is associated with the lives of persons significant in national, state, or local history. If it's not Jefferson Davis, then it would be May Avery Wilkins of the United Daughters of the Confederacy. But even then, we felt that there was insufficient documentation to support that. A request was made for additional documentation to be added to the nomination, and that request was never met. So it's hard for me to see how, as it stands today, this nomination holds up based on those criteria.
If this nomination had come up before us today, I totally would have voted against it. I was like, no, you need more documentation, you haven't established significance, try again. But the public record is more expansive than the nomination now. And we have had people testify about the significance of the UDC. We had a former commissioner dedicate most of his comments to the significance of the UDC.
And maybe also testify that they were out of Seattle, not Clark County.
But that's why I'm saying the connection is to the national. And I agree with Alex, D is, It's not directly associated with the local community. It doesn't. I don't think it meets D. I think it meets A and G, and I think that that's the basis for it. I'll also
but if it doesn't meet D, then it surely it doesn't meet the first criteria of being significantly associated
with the history, archaeology, engineering, or cultural
heritage of the community. Mm-hmm. And the community here, I'm assuming, is the county. So, I mean, I don't... It's, to me, that's sort of... The buck stops there. I don't...
Well, I'll say one last thing. And then I'll actually make a motion.
Okay.
I do think that this marker is historically significant for the reasons that I gave. However, Alex especially has convinced me that it doesn't meet the criteria of our ordinance. And I'm actually rather disappointed in our commission's history of not following our ordinance in regards to this object, both in its original nomination and its certificate of appropriateness. And so I would hate to see our history with this object continue to not follow our ordinance. Our ordinance is what we have to work under. And so, unless anyone else has a comment, I'll make a motion.
What's your motion?
I move that the marker be delisted because it has not adequately shown that it meets the criteria of our ordinance from terms of, let me make sure I'm stating it right, or else Jackie will get mad at me.
Of its original listing, perhaps?
For because it is not significantly associated with the history, architecture, archaeology, engineering, or architectural heritage of the community. And actually, I'm just going to leave it at that.
So we have a motion. Is there any discussion on that motion?
First, I guess that there's a second on it.
Is there a second on this motion?
Can we amend the motion?
You have to second it first.
Second.
Okay, the motion has been seconded. Any commentary or discussion around this motion?
I'd like to amend it to also include that the marker has lost its historic integrity of location, setting, feeling, and association.
I agree with that.
Is that a second?
That's a second to the second. Yeah.
A second to the amendment.
To the amendment.
Yeah.
Do we
need to vote on it? Well, I think discussion of it. I think that's a the motion is a very complete and accurate description of what we've been discussing among our commission tonight.
Do you want me to justify the amendment?
I think we've already discussed
it.
Yeah, I think we have.
Okay, good.
And I wouldn't object to it, if that matters.
Point of order. The person making the original motion must accept the amendment in order for it to be valid.
Well, I just said I don't object. I'll officially.
That is not correct. It can be accepted as a friendly amendment, but if it is not accepted as a friendly amendment, then you should vote on it because it is moved and seconded.
I accept it as a friendly amendment.
Okay, we have a motion to delist the marker from the Clark County Heritage Register as amended and accepted. We will now vote on it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Very well. The motion is carried.
Should we also make a second amendment about findings? I mean, a second motion about findings?
That could either happen or the chair could simply direct staff in that regard.
So the request is for staff to bring findings to the next meeting and then we'll approve the findings.
Continuing.
Yeah, so we still have a little bit of meeting left. We have an exhilarating new business topic on the agenda. If anybody wants to stick around, it's the La Center House, which was constructed in 1889.
Yes, I wanted to bring this house to the commission's attention.
Jack, just a moment. Everyone who's still in here, could you? I guess quiet down for the rest of the meeting.
Sorry.
There might be a historic house you can buy and you can stick around.
1889.
Central Washington. Okay, I can hear you.
Sorry. So we received a call a couple months ago from the owner of this home about the Colombian article on your in front of you. So they moved there, didn't want to live in the house. But you could see that it's historic. They called us. We've been trying to at least get the word out about it. It's in good shape. Apparently, it was a lumber baron from Portland's kind of summer home. I just kind of wanted to bring to your attention because we are trying to find hopefully someone that would be interested in it. We've got the Washington Heritage Trust involved and they're advertising for it as well. But I just wanted you to know that your staff was working with the property owner and trying to find someone that might take
it. Is it on any register? Has a historic property inventory been completed for it?
No, it has not.
Okay.
So this could end up being a case of a historic property being moved.
Well, or worse, being raised.
Right. Yeah.
Used as fire department training fodder.
Yes, and I know that the Clarkville Center Historical Society and Museum, they were, what I heard is they were interested in it. They just don't, they would have liked it for their museum. They just don't have the funds or the property lined up to, make that happen.
Has there been any estimate given on what moving it would cost? I mean, it depends where, but.
Not that I'm aware of. So that this is more of an FYI. If you have any ideas or any thoughts or, let me know.
I would say document the house as quickly as possible so that if anything a fire in the night, perhaps?
We definitely fill out the inventory form for it and at least get that document.
Yeah, is Holly still here?
So,
Jackie?
Yes.
I'm sorry for being so slow in the uptake here, but could you just give me a quick sentence or a paragraph of why this is important?
This house? It's obviously a historic house.
Meaning that it's old?
It's old. There's been some research done on it. The Center Historical Museum and Society did put together some information about it. It was built in 1889, so that's pretty one of our older home residential houses. We don't have many that are listed in North Clark County, especially in the Little Center area. It was built by Portland lumber baron Olaf B. Agard, who owned the West Highland and East Highland Mills, and this was his summer home. So the purchasers of the property bought it in 2014. Do not want to live in a two-story house, once you put a one-story manufactured room on it. And it can, of course, have two dwelling units on one property. So we're trying to help them come up with a solution to save this house.
Is it that they don't want to, or just is it because the zoning code doesn't allow
it? They don't want to live in that, though.
But they don't want it on the property either.
They can't have two dwelling units.
And the tax, property taxes would be. Higher.
Well, historic tax credits, variance from the zoning code.
You can't get a variance to lot density.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
How many acres does it sit on?
Oh, 20 acres.
And they couldn't do a short plat or some sort of...
Probably it could be 20 acres, so...
Oh.
But I'll double check that.
And they want it done in 2 months?
Yeah.
Speaking as the urban planner in the room. Well.
Well, I think it has historic significance in as much as it was built the year that Washington became state.
It would be interesting to know more about Agard.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'll at least try to work on the inventory form.
And I do think documentation is crucial because
I've seen
so many houses that have just... to get demolition permits. I wish there was a question. Is it over 50 years old? If so, take a 6-week hiatus or something for documentation.
What kind of documentation are you thinking?
Historic property inventory at the very least. I mean, there are two levels. There's the reconnaissance level and then the intensive level. Yes. Intensive would be great so that, you know, the person, an architectural historian, can get into the house and actually document the interior as well as the exterior. I mean, I haven't seen it. I don't know if the windows are original or any of that, but you know, if all of that is, I mean, it would be a terrible loss, you know.
I'll see what I can do. And, you know, that's a large project that would require some research and some specialists.
Yeah, I mean, the reconnaissance level could be done with a camera and, you know, tape measure from the exterior.
Let's check.
Yeah.
You can go for a field trip, Alex.
Yeah, sure. You never know what you might learn on a field trip.
Your point's more important is that, you know, if you go to the Clark County's, you know, as tax assessor, there isn't a box that says it's a historic property. And once it's gone, there's
The county removes all information about the structures from the GIS and the assessors and everything. I mean,
I sense like one of my missions, which we're actually seem to be doing, was the let's go visit cities and counties and let them know that we're still here and that we would like to be a part of your community, and we're doing that. But I have a sense that your mission is to try to make a change here with the fact that these properties are, as a city planner, if I look up a property, there's nothing there that tells me right off the bat from that tax assessor that that's a historic property or possibly a historic property. I have to already have a sense that it is, and then
to the building tab and then go to the actual year built and the effective year built.
Yeah, which is a little confusing, honestly.
Yeah, you know? I do wish that the demolition permit applications had a checkbox for if it's over 50 years old.
Yeah, other communities have that.
Yeah, I started doing some research because I know that I've talked to you about that, and other historic preservation commissions have gotten, you know, a 6 week or up to a 6 month hiatus on the permit, so that documentation could occur before it gets demolished. Or
I mean, I feel like I've been like, there's a Roffler house that continues to be put up for sale in Camas, and I keep talking to potential buyers about it, and if I didn't know that, you know, I think that this house, because it's on multifamily property, would be more valuable gone, in most people's opinions, you know, but I keep selling all the tax benefits and the federal tax credits, and, you know, I don't know, we'll see who wins, you know, but I've talked to about 3 different buyers over the last 5 years about this, and so, but it's, again, you know, I guess I'm just highlighting, it's not anywhere else other than, you know.
I have to dig for
it. Well, actually, it seems, since I've taken a much deeper dive into our ordinance than I ever had before, I'd only read it before, but if you look at the purpose of this commission, it seems like a formal letter to the county and the cities as applicable about this issue is perfectly within the purview of what this commission is supposed to do.
I think that's the point of us making these rounds, you know, to reintroduce ourselves, you know, so many commissioners and probably city council members probably, they're new, they haven't seen us before, you know, I think, yeah, this is an important, our tour is important for that very reason.
Just in the last couple of weeks, I've talked to a couple of elected officials who have asked me what we do.
Exactly, yeah. Thank you for setting all that up.
Yes, and I can see that we've kind of skipped over that, so.
Yeah, I was just thinking, gosh, I might be up here soon.
last Wednesday, was the county council.
Yeah, so maybe before we go there, to close off on the Center House, I mean, if there's any kind of mitigation, or we've got a little bit of budget left, maybe like photograph the house or something, do you think that would kind of help? I think ideally we'd like to find a buyer for it, but if not, we should at least get it documented.
Yeah, I think placement on the HPA, documentation on this to the Washington State Historic Property Inventory, even if it's just the reconnaissance level, would be a good start. I mean, it doesn't place any restrictions on what to do with the house. It's just simply a record and an inventory. So
okay, I'll check with Jan on what budget left. If the group wants me to kind of move forward to see if that's an option, if we have funding to maybe just do that kind of level of survey. Is that
And did Chris Moore not say anything to that? Have you talked to Michael Hauser or Nick Bender or anybody?
Sharon has been the one working on this. She spoke with the trust. I don't know if she spoke with one, not Michael Hauser.
Thank you.
The other order or other business was the council presentations. We've had 2 so far. last Wednesday with the Board of County Councilors, Sarah and Robert, and last night in this room with the City Council with Rock and Robert and Shaya. So they're going well. We've got a few more to go. So I'll be touching base with those that I'll be presenting with coming up, and we can kind of came up with a system on which slides, you know, each person would do.
And at last glance, there were still some openings, right? We had some.
I think we're all full. We might have one meeting that only one. I think Mark might be just one commissioner at one of them.
Do you have that schedule handy?
I don't. I can email it back out. The Yakult one, I want to say, is November
20th.
20th.
Searching old emails from you has become a lot more difficult.
it's time for a separate folder.
Yeah.
You won't hear from me for a while, at least not to the extent. Yeah.
Not the a dozen a day.
Okay. Any questions about the council presentations? Anything you guys need for that?
Depending on when I'm going, I would like to see the presentations that have been given.
Yes, we've made some revisions since the last one we showed you in September, and revised some notes, so we'll get those back out to you guys.
Okay. So
So I do have a question. Do we have a script?
There's a notes page that's part of
it. These guys were so good. I'm intimidated.
Well, they use the script, right?
Yeah. Well, and we can talk a little bit about some of our history, too, which is nice. Well, this commission,
get,
you know?
If I get to sit in front of a city council and just read, I can do that.
Well, at least my experience, you know, the county commission just acted interested, and that just helps a lot. You know, if they just stonewalled us, then I probably would have been stuttering as well, but they seemed really interested in meeting us and hearing what we had to say, so I thought that helped.
Yeah, and city council just sort of let us say our thing and waited till the end and then had a few questions, so yeah, you can go either way. All right, if that's it for new business, we're still having a public meeting, so I'll open it up if there's any public comment. We have two members of the public left with us.
Staff.
One member of the public, and she's a former commissioner. We cleared out the room. Okay, if there's no public comment, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
I second.
Does anybody want to discuss the motion?
Gosh.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Is that Gosh No going to make it into the record?